Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. We have got a treat for you, and this is a very timely topic. In fact, I think it's always timely no matter when you're tuning in, but especially with all of the changes that are happening in the economy and society and the environment of business today. The secret to building your brand and business simultaneously is something that I think is extremely important to us. In fact, through my other business, which is the podcast Reach System, we work with entrepreneurs to help them simultaneously build a brand while launching a business. Our VIPs are folks who use a podcast to spearhead the development of a brand and a business. Now, we have with us somebody who has been internationally recognized in this particular discipline. His name is Christopher Salem. He's an executive coach, corporate trainer, and professional speaker who mentors C-suite business leaders, entrepreneurs, and sales professionals to build and protect their brands by raising their level of influence as trusted advisors to maximize their results. He does a whole bunch of other stuff. Come to our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. Look in the show notes, and you'll see everything that's going on with Christopher. And for right now, let's bring him in. Christopher Salem, welcome aboard.
Adam, come on in. Weather's fine. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you have so much that you share in your official biography. In fact, when I read this, I'm not even sure I'm worthy to be here, and this is my show. So what we like
they're
to
always
have,
worthy.
Yeah. So what we like to have do is we like to have our guests tell the story in their words. So share with us a bit about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
Well, great question, Adam. I mean, for me, it's all about the experience and the journey. And for me, it wasn't always peaches and cream, so to speak. And, you know, and life never is. Either is business. It's all part of the process. So everything that I, you know, where I am today and how I've been able to, you know, help organizations and help individuals to really, you know, step into their better selves and really to perform at a higher level is just based upon my own experience. And for me, you know, early on, you know, not only in my life, but also in my career, I really struggled. You know, I was dealing with a lot of things. I had ADHD. I couldn't keep focused on one thing. I was operating from a fixed mindset, you know, operating in the past and the future from fear-based thinking. And I was codependent, meaning that I was passive aggressive in terms of my behavior and communication. And all of that really led me down a path of really struggling to maintain relationships, even though I would start off strong. I had a great work ethic, but you know, I would reach a certain point and those self-sabotaging behaviors and my codependent communication would intervene and I would have to repeat all over again, you know, to develop new relationships only to undo them with this behavior and communication. So I had to learn the hard way. And it was, you know, through an epiphany that I had when my father was dying of lung cancer at the age of 56. That it was the turning point for me that I knew I had to go, I had to do something to solve the challenges that were interfering with the growth of my business, my interactions with people. And it was the first time in my life that I had to take responsibility, no matter what has happened to me in the past, I had to take ownership of where I was and where I was going to go from there. I didn't know how I was going to go about doing it, but I just knew that was the defining moment. That was like 22 years ago. And since then, obviously, I developed a process that allowed me to get out of the problem into the solution. And thus, through that experience, and you know, for myself, and then working with others and companies, I've been able to bring that to others to do the same for themselves. So it's all experience and just being the example and being a resource for others to do the same.
And some of the things you've achieved. I'm familiar with your book, Master Your Inner Critic, Resolve the Root Cause. I see also, and this is something else I'm going to have to check out, you co-authored the recent edition of Mastering the Art of Success with Jack Canfield. And another thing that I encourage our listeners to do is check out your weekly radio show, Sustainable Success, which is on the Voice America Influencers channel. So how about that for working in a few things? You've got so many things going on here and understanding where it came from. I think a lot of us deal with issues of not knowing what to communicate, how to communicate, not even knowing that there are questions to ask, much less knowing what the questions are to ask to understand what they don't know, because they don't know what they don't know. I've been there myself. I've gone through a long journey of understanding how a combination of childhood traumas and things that have happened in my life have influenced me far beyond the actual incidents or the actual moments. Also, just some of how we're educated, how we are programmed. I think it's more programming than education sometimes that actually is positioned, or we're told that it's supposed to help us get a boost in the world, but it actually holds us in place and, or holds us back. And if there's anything that I can do to move the needle through the Business Creators Radio Show, it's to speak with folks like you and share some of our combined wisdom on how to do it. So building your brand and business simultaneously, oh, there are some blocks when it comes to that. So I guess the first thing I'd like to do is, and I know you have a few points you want us to cover, but let's start with that. When people get to the point where it's like, it's time to build your brand, what's stopping them from doing it?
Well, what's stopping people from performing at a higher level, in this case, really knowing how to show up and be compelling to others, it has to start with a foundation. So think about like if you were to build a beautiful home, you have to have a rock solid foundation. So you're going to take time to excavate the land, to lay down the foundation, because that's what you're going to frame the house out to build on that foundation. What happens is many times in business and in marketing and branding, people don't take time to cultivate the foundation. And that foundation starts from the inside out. So, you know, you could show up and project yourself in a certain way to people from the outside. It's only going to get you so far. If it doesn't reflect the same on the inside, that's going to come out with true colors in due time, like it did with me with my passive aggressive communication and behavior. So how you show up and how you project yourself to be compelling to others and connecting on shared values, that is the, you know, that's how people are going to, you know, to connect with you. And that's what's going to elevate your brand and then eventually indirectly and directly grow your business over time. So that foundation starts with first how you think, your mindset. So shifting from a fixed mindset, which operates in the past and the future based on fear, to a growth mindset, operating in the present moment. It's also the ability in that present moment over time to learn how to resolve the root cause to limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs are established and forged in your child development years, things that you observe growing up from your parents, whether they're serving you or not. This is how I became codependent. I grew up in a codependent home, and I had a strong need for validation because I didn't get it growing up from my father. So obviously this is what led me down a path of being a pleaser, an enabler, but also could be quite aggressive and demand a lot of things from people that, oh, you know, those expectations went unfulfilled. So I had to really learn how to shift to a growth mindset to be present, to then get to the root cause of my own limiting beliefs. Because by doing that, it allowed me over time to really raise my level of confidence, self-esteem. It allowed me to be a better decision maker. Mm-hmm. It allowed me to communicate specific, clear, and concise, not based on assumption and speculation. It allowed me to behave in a certain way where I was in control of my emotions, not the other way around. It adjusted my attitude from gratitude and the ability to take action, not being busy and not productive, but being productive, you know, in the moment. So growth mindset is like the first layer of that foundation. And then I had to identify what were the core values that represented me. See, I lived the first 30 years of my life from my dad's values, thinking that if I, you know, did that, I would you know, gain his approval. Now, I didn't even know I was operating from his values at the time. I just know that that obviously I was doing that to gain his approval, and I was miserable. So it's really getting in tune with your own core values, how that relates to the business that you're in, the brand that you're projecting, and how that's going to relate to the audience and clients that you serve. That is the foundation to your, that is what makes up your foundation, your mindset, how you think, because how you think will allow you to be different. When you be different, you'll become different. When you become different, you will do different. And when you do different, you will have and achieve better and different results. Then when you add the values in there, that's how you're going to show up and be compelling and connect with people on shared values. So for me, my values that represent me, my business, and the audience I serve are transparency, honesty, and integrity. Does that mean that everybody that comes in contact with me has those same values verbatim? No. But there are people that will have shared values. They may value someone being ethical, trustworthy, following through. Those can relate to my values. I'm not going to be everything for everyone, nor do I try to be everything for everyone. I'm not throwing mud at a wall. I'm going to be compelling to the ones where we can connect on shared values. And right. When people feel that you're compelling to them, they feel that you relate to them and they feel understood, they're more likely are interested now in what you do and how that can help them to help themselves. So it's why you do what you do versus what you do. That's the secret to elevating your brand and business, is connecting with people there. When they do their part to have a better experience, they're gonna keep coming back, and they're gonna refer people to you. This is a way that people can, you know, begin to kind of use that foundation to build their brands, elevate their brands, and scale their business.
Right. So you've just laid one hell of a platform or foundation.
Yeah.
Is the analogy that you yourself used earlier for how we're going to bring this all together. So we may move that a little bit more toward the end of our conversation here. I'll tell you what jumped out for me is just a couple examples of how we get subtly programmed to some of the walls that are put up in front of us in ways we don't even recognize at the time, because it's so subtle, so subliminal. And the people who are putting the walls in front of us don't even recognize that they themselves are walking or working from within a very limited mind frame that they were given by somebody else. So they think they're actually doing the best they can, and they think that they're actually trying to be helpful. So here's one example, and I love to share this. There's probably about a dozen other episodes we've covered this on Business Creators Radio, but I really want to get your perspective of it. And when I was in Catholic school, it might have been the third or fourth grade, I can't remember exactly, we were given an assignment in class. And the assignment was to answer this question: if you won the lottery for $1 million today, what would you do with the money?
If I were receiving that money right now, I would use that money right now to create a platform that would really create a massive awareness for people to understand that you have a choice in life and in what you do with your business, that you don't have to be a product of your limiting beliefs, that you can rise above them to become, to do, and have better results. We all have our gifts. We just have to learn how do we be more compelling to others. And these are when we are able to do that, that's when people are going to want to, you know what we can do to help them and so on. So if it would be for me to create a platform that could create mass awareness to really help people help themselves, including organizations. So this isn't just for individuals, but for companies as a whole, regardless of what industry or how big you are.
Yep. And if you'd have turned in that answer, you would have failed. You know why?
Why?
Because the only acceptable answer, this is the only right answer, and all other answers were wrong, is you had to make a specific list of people that you would give the money away to with dollar amounts of how much you'd give to each one. And it had to add up to $1 million. You had to give it all away.
So if I had it, so each person.
Yeah.
Wow. Cause now if we only have $1 million, that means I can only reach 1 million people in a dollar each, right?
Exactly. Well, that's something that has only occurred to me once or twice, but the foundation of it was, and this is the messaging that I recognize as an adult was so dangerous about this question, is it was planting the idea that there's no nobility in wealth, and if you achieve wealth, you are sinful unless you forsake all of it. So when I turned in my answer, mine was that I was going to put it in the bank and earn interest. So I had a basic understanding of compound interest and the idea that I would be able to put my money to work for me and generate income off the interest that will allow me to do other good deeds. Now, I didn't use language that fancy, but that was the gist of it. It was the idea that I wouldn't have to work just to survive, and I would then have the time to be helpful to society. But no,
well, that definitely is a good thing. I think what you just said, it does make sense. I mean, yeah, if you can earn more money, I've always been a saver. I've always been an investor. I've been investing points. So I support what you just said 100%. I guess, you know, I wasn't looking at it that way because I was already there with, you know, lived that life, as a saver. And I still to this day live below my means. And, you know, I'm one of those people, I only buy what is required. You know, I don't buy to impress others.
Right. Exactly.
Things. Yeah.
Right. So there's one other problem with that question, and it's the way it was worded. If you won $1 million in the lottery, so what about being successful and getting paid $1 million? What about starting a business that brings in $1 million? What about being really good at that athletics and getting a contract for a major league team that gets you $1 million? So the subliminal message was, is you're not here to have wealth. You're not here to have success. If it happens, it's by random luck. And you're supposed to express your appreciation for that luck by giving it all away. So being wealthy is for other people, not you.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, I think there's no problem being, obviously there's no problem being wealthy. As long as that you be a resource and be an example and, you know, and doing it in a way that, you know, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, and it only enriches and empowers people to do, you know, to find that within themselves. And it's not about forsaking your family and, you know, other people at the expense of that. No, that you find ways that you could do the best you can to find some harmony, you know. So, you know, again, it's not all just about wealth. Sometimes we have to make sacrifices, of course, at certain times. But, you know, it's about, again, that harmony, you know, for me, you know,
right.
The way I look at it.
What was that famous line from that movie, Wall Street? Do you remember?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. And I can't think of it now with Michael Douglas and
Charlie Sheen. Yeah. And he gives the speech at the stakeholders meeting. And
yeah, that really shocking. I can't remember what he said.
Remember what it was?
Greed is good. Greed is good or something.
Wrong.
Yeah.
He never said greed is good. Oh. They created promos for the movie. There are clips online where they creatively edited it to make it sound like he said greed is good.
Yep.
Watch the movie. He never said greed is good. This is an entire section of my book, Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy, because I think it really gets to the heart of all of it, of some of what we're covering today, the foundations enable people to build brands and businesses. And it's a key understanding. He did not say greed is good.
Yeah.
He said greed, for lack of a better word, is good. And then if you listen to the rest of the speech, he goes into how we as human beings all have motivations that have to do with fulfilling our needs according to Maslow's hierarchy. And when we're able to do that, then we're able to go out and be more altruistic and fix the world and help others. So that's really the message of it. And you hear Michael Douglas in the interviews wondering, why the hell do people like that speech? I was a scumbag in that movie.
Yeah.
because the message itself wasn't really about being greedy. It was about leveraging your needs to have your needs fulfilled to motivate you to greatness.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched a movie in quite some time, but again, I was just going off of memory. It's been years since I've watched it.
Yeah, well, it's on you. Oh, that particular scene is posted 100 times on YouTube. So again, it's the subtlety of words and how you position them that can create radically different meanings. And
that's true.
Right. So those are the two things that I wanted to surface here. And now I want to develop a bit more on that foundation you laid for us earlier. So you mentioned about how, you know, connecting at a deeper level with your audience. So why does how we think, you know, we worked on our thought process. Why does how we think impact how we connect at a deeper level with our audience?
Well, I mean, how we think is, again, we, you know, if we're going to be able to connect with people, we got to connect with people. Again, values are operate at a subconscious level. Everybody has the values that define who they are, whether if they know it consciously or not. So if we have the ability to really know how to connect with people on shared values, then to me, those are the brands that are going to have the best success long term. Then this doesn't have to be just a person. It can be, you know, it can be an entity in itself. You know, you look at, you know, because you're never going to be everything for everyone.
Right.
But when you have that ability to understand people and relate to where they are and, you know, and connect at that level, for me, this is where people reach out to me. I don't go out of my way to make calls and have to rely upon marketing funnels and just to get bodies in and then just go through a sales pitch. It's not about that. It's about relationships. So for me, you know, when I look at a brand, it's the brands that build those relationships over time by connecting on indirectly and directly on shared values is where that when they master that, they have the best success. And in order to do that, we have to be able to be different, because when we can be in the moment, we have the ability to really, you know, understand that we can only control what we can and what we know at that time. And we can let go of everything else. We're not operating from a place of worry, from anxiety, from stress, that we understand that this is what I can do right now with the puzzle pieces that I have. And I can let go of everything else. But when we're not operating in that type of being, or that way of thinking, then you're going to get caught up in the things that you cannot control. And those are the things that often will affect our level of confidence, self-esteem, and so on, and then can affect how we display and show up as a brand, you know, in the places that we are. So a lot of people take that for granted and don't really understand the power of that and how that connection is very strong when you can connect with people on that level.
Yeah. And, you know, earlier you also mentioned the importance of core values. So how is being centered with your core values important with building a brand and business simultaneously?
Well, like I say, I'm a firm believer that, you know, your business, depends on what kind of business you're in, of course, but for the most part, for most businesses, it's about, you know, why you do what you do versus just what you do. Like if I'm going to buy a house, I could, there are 10,000 realtors in a 60-mile radius. Why am I going to pick a certain realtor? Well, maybe somebody referred somebody to me and I trust them and I respect them. And so the person they're sending to me, I'm going to feel that, hey, this person is good because, you know, they're being recommended. Am I just going to choose somebody because they're a real estate agent, because I saw that their marketing, like, hey, they're like the best at what they do? Well, so I'm not saying that can't have an impact and influence people in some way, but really what it comes down to is why you do what you do. So I'll give you an example. I know a woman I worked with about 3 years ago that her production was very, very low. Very, very nice woman, very articulate, never going to be a top producer, but you know, she was definitely not where she was at the point. She was doing everything that her agency told her to do. And I ended up finding out, you know, how do you connect with people? And how she was connecting with people in this business did not reflect her values. Matter of fact, it didn't even reflect anything that had to do with her values. And then she realized why there was a disconnect. She had her own self-limiting beliefs. So that had to be addressed first. Once we were able to work with her over time to get her to a certain point, where her belief system changed from limiting to limitless, and she began to really hone in on the values that defined her. She also volunteered at a nonprofit organization. She was a great writer. She leveraged her strengths as a writer. And right. A lot of people embraced her content because of that, those family-related values. And those were the people that also had family-related values. And I asked her, I said, do these people, do they realize that you're a realtor? And she goes, well, I don't know. I don't think so, because I'm not displaying myself or advertising myself here as a realtor. I said, would the nonprofit allow you to, when you sign your name, to put that you're a realtor? Not, don't put the agency, because nobody would care regardless at that point what agency you work for. They like you. When she started signing her name and putting realtor, they were connecting with her because of her, the value that she brought them through compelling content where they felt connected to. She began to build her business, book a business, increase her production, not based upon what she did, but indirectly by why she did what she did on those values. She did it indirectly. And she began to focus more of her efforts there, not through the traditional way that she'd been taught to do. And she had much more success that way. Now I can give you a handful of other examples that were the same thing, something similar. People don't know, they maybe hear these stories, but it doesn't register. They don't, only very few people master this particular area of understanding ways that they can connect with their audience. It's not just what you do, it's why you do what you do. And this is what helps to raise brands. I just talked at a conference in Miami Beach, Miami Beach Convention Center, to a catering company. It was a show called Cater Source. And during COVID, when things were really down for catering companies because there was no events, this one caterer was getting actively involved in non-charity work in a particular area. They volunteered their time. They planted some great seeds, and they connected with their audience based upon why they did what they did. As they started to move out of COVID and when things started to pick up again, their business was booming compared to others in their industry because of the indirect things they did in with the nonprofits connecting on value. From their values. And while the other companies were just doing everything they can to market and do the traditional things that they thought would get people's attention. And yet this company was, you know, in terms was light years ahead of where they were at that point based upon things that had nothing to do with what they do. So these are the things that often people just don't either know or they take for granted. And they're so important to be, you know, as a part of your overall marketing PR strategy that, and I call it an influence strategy. And they just don't take advantage, or they just don't know enough to know what to do.
Yeah. We're going to get into the whole trusted advisor thing in just a moment, pulling from the foundation you laid earlier, but I wanted to bring something up. You mentioned your work with a realtor. Now, where do you most commonly see realtor advertising?
I mean, you might see them. I mean, sometimes they have these magazines, you know.
That's where I'm going. It's the magazines. Yeah. So it's usually the community circular and whatever agency that they're affiliated with buys an entire page, and you see 32 headshots that were all taken at the local family photographer and have the family photo studio look to them, and you see their names, and right underneath it has their cell phone number so you can bother them anytime, day or night. And you look at this collage and you think, oh, these people thought they were so hot in high school. Now look, they're slinging houses. Now, you get a moment of schadenfreude over that. However, this is what, in many cases, realtors are told to do, is to participate in these sorts of things, to make themselves hyper available so they run around like a chicken with its head cut off 24/7. And that is not really a path to wealth, in my opinion. I've seen some realtors be extremely successful, some that are friends of mine here in Las Vegas. And what the really successful ones have in common is I don't think of them as realtors first, is, you know, going back to what you mentioned. I think of one is somebody who inspires people toward finding and centering themselves in their truth so they can live their best life. Another one I think of is somebody who is the epitome of the glamour life. I don't think of them as realtors first. I think of them as models for certain types of lifestyles, certain sets of beliefs, and realty is just what they do. So they create that personal bond or sense of a personal bond between you and them, where you see them as being your people. So of course you're gonna work with them. It's just like the matter that if there are 10 service providers that do the same thing in your town, and one of them's your best buddy, you're working with your best buddy.
Yep, true. That's so true.
They may be the highest price, and they may deliver the slowest, but as long as they get it done within a time frame and a price range you can live with, they got your business because they're your buddy.
Exactly.
And you know your buddy. You know your buddy's values. You know where your buddy is centered. You know what they believe in. You know what their impact is. So you relate to them in a way that the other nine, who may charge less and work faster, don't.
Exactly. It's the people that don't understand that oftentimes will get caught up in the price war. Like, you know, if you have the lowest price, or I'm not interested in a transactional business. It's one thing I advocate to people. If you want to be in that business, well, all power to you. But when it comes down to it, it's the relationships. People value those relationships, and they value you make them feel like they're understood. That price and that time, those objections that you often hear, kind of dissipate, you know, or are reduced. So
yeah. So let's go down this trusted advisor path more, because this is something that I've gotten a lot of feedback from folks they run into. They know that their offering is rock solid and it delivers results above and beyond even what they themselves can sometimes believe. But they run into conversation after conversation after conversation with prospects who say, I'd love to work with you, but I've already committed to this other 90-day program, so see me in 80 days. So they circle back in 80 days, have another conversation with a prospect, and the prospect says, guess what? I just signed up for this 6-month coaching program. So catch me in 6 months.
Yeah. You're
thinking, but what about me?
Yeah.
Don't I matter? And what I think, and this is where I've been so excited to have a conversation with you, I think part of the disconnect there is that these folks who keep being the one that gets put off 90 days, gets put off 6 months, while their prospects keep committing to other things. It's because there's a trusted advisor gap there.
Yes, exactly. Again, a trusted advisor is not a job or a title. It's a way of life. And you can be a trusted advisor in your marriage, as a parent, as a member in your community, a friend, as a brother or a sister, whatever the case may be, and in your business. And again, it's about, you know, being an example and being a resource for others, coming from a place of empathy and kindness, and operating right from those values. So these are the people that over time people begin to trust. And then when they feel that something is compelling to them, and they feel like you've really understand and connected to them where they're at, they're more likely now are going to make a decision to do something with you. Or if something that you now, what you do does not really, you know, apply to what is important to them, they trust you enough that they will make the effort to refer you to someone, or you will be the first one that comes to mind when something is applicable into what you do that can help somebody. And if that person is trusted by that other person, they're often going to take the recommendation from who they referred. So right, those are the things that people, that if they can really learn to master that, they're going to have far more success in elevating their brands, raising their level of influence as a thought leader, and of course, scaling their businesses.
Right. And one thing that jumped out at there is you mentioned the whole referral thing. In my book, Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy, I mentioned there's an entire subsection in addition to the Gordon Gekko thing. There's also one on what's known as the sleeper effect. It's, and to summarize it in two sentences, if you're tooting your own horn, it may have limited impact because, duh, what are you going to do is say you're sucking, your products don't work?
Yeah.
So you saying you're great, it's like, well, yeah, of course you're going to say you're great. However, when you start to get others to say it, that's when it begins to have more impact. The same if you're trying to deliver a message. If you yourself are delivering a message, it may not have the same level of impact as other people quoting you and agreeing with you.
Exactly. That's why, like I said, when you could have content, indirect and direct, that's out there on a consistent basis. Doesn't mean you have to be talking to these people every day, but it's out there. This is what subliminally is being registered at the subconscious level that they're going to remember. They're going to have that felt feeling. And that's what's going to, like, and as long as that you know, you're putting stuff out there that helps people to help themselves, helps people in their businesses, again, it doesn't necessarily have to be everything what you do in your profession. It can be something indirect, combination, but it's that consistency that when you're out there being compelling to others, being that example, being that resource, that they're going to have you top of mind. They're going to be thinking about you.
Right. Now, this is something that I'm actually in the process of doing an experiment with a new thing we're launching through our podcast launch business. And we're testing a couple different variations of a message. So this will be a great opportunity for me to do a test of a certain methodology. And yes, those of you who are tuning into Business Creators Radio who come from the everything podcasting side of what I do, you're about to get a little peek behind the curtain here. It's one of the benefits of hanging out with me. Anyway, it's been my contention for years, and I'm so excited by this latest opportunity to put it to the test, that when you are, particularly when you offer a service, like a done-for-you or a done-with-you service, the more you pull back that curtain, the more you shine the spotlight, the more you show them exactly how you do what you do, the more they will trust you, and actually, the more likely they will be to hire you. The reason being is they see that you get it. You convey it to them in a way that shows them that you get it. So it raises their confidence level because they say, yeah, I could do that myself, but I don't want to. I want to pay somebody to do it. I want to pay the person who knows what the hell they're doing. And this guy or this woman or what have you has shown me they know this. I trust them. And the counterpoint to that are folks who are afraid to even offer a PDF download of a special report on their website because, oh, what if my competition reads it and they rip me off and then they're going to take all my customers? I think you can tell which side I land on here.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's so important. But I just wanted to stress, Adam, you know, the importance of the consistency, because that's the thing. It's got to be consistent, because it's like with anything at the subconscious level, you've got to be doing things every day or on a consistent basis before it gets embedded into people's. This is why, like, there's certain brands out there, you know, not just people, but just brands in general that are, you know, you think about, because they're always out there in some way. It's not just telling them people like what, you know, what they do and how great they are. It's about, you know, again, creating those, it's conveying those values that are important to people.
Yeah.
It's speaking to people in indirect ways as well. And that's what's so important.
Yeah. All right. Here's another one I want to run by you here. And this is a meme that we see going around sometimes. It just so happens I was fiddling on social media, you know, absently scrolling while you and I are having the conversation, you know, just like you and I would probably do if we were sitting down having a drink together, because you know how it is. This is 2021. Anyway, you know, full attention on you, but at the same time, I'm looking for something funny to show you so we can have a good laugh at it. Or something you said, because again, we're having a private mastermind conversation here. Something you said made me think, oh, I got to find this. I've got to find this. I got to show Chris. So I pull out the phone, I start looking things up, right? You follow me? So it's not a matter. So it's actually not a matter of, oh, we're being distracted by our devices. It's our mutual inspiration is causing us to look for even more great stuff to share. Anyway, here's one I have to share with you. And this is a meme we see all the time. It has to do with allocating money and time. So I'll just read it literally. Start a business, $999, too much. Buy a new iPhone. $999. No problem. I'll stand in line for 3 days. Healthy groceries, $100. Too much. Go out for dinner and drinks, $100. Yeah, no problem. I'll blow $100 on cocktails. Watch Netflix, 2 hours. Oh, I'm just going to watch one more episode. Next thing you know, it's dawn. Learn a new skill, 2 hours. Actually watch that video of that home study course you just bought. I ain't got time for that. So the point of this meme on the surface is that life is about choices, stop blaming the lack of opportunity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, when I look at stuff like that, it kind of ties into what we've been saying about how we center with our values and how we communicate that to establish trust.
Yeah.
So that's what to me is sort of like the elephant in the room when I see memes like this.
Well, like you said, like for instance, if you look at this like health program, maybe it's a supplement, and you're like, you keep seeing, oh, this supplement will help me do this, this, and this. And you see the person that is the face of that supplement. Then you find out in real life that person doesn't do any of the things they say they do. They're just out there just pitching this because it's a product. Now, that's not going to connect. If people are not being the example of something they represent, and what's going to connect with those people is not necessarily the product. It's that that person lives a healthy lifestyle, that they're doing certain things to make sure they're properly aligned or in harmony with their overall well-being. So by happens, I also take this supplement. So the supplement, it's not the supplement itself. It's that it's just, you know, feeling better, looking better, and knowing that I don't have to be perfect, that I can just be, you know, this person is not perfect either. I can relate to that. So I don't feel like I have to have all this pressure that I have to be perfect. It's that those types of things that are going to sell products, not the other way around. Talking about, you know, features and benefits and how great the product, you know, did. And, you know, look at this person. This is what they look like before, and this is what they look like now. I'm not saying those things don't matter and don't help, but it's the other way around, connecting where people are and being that example of that, you know, inside and out. That's where the values come in. Otherwise, now it's a contrast in your values.
Yeah, I saw this before and after photo of a guy who was about 70 pounds overweight. That's the before. And then on the right, it shows him thin with six pack abs.
Yeah.
Photoshop course, $150.
Of course. Of course. And if for any reason, if it was real, it wasn't like that happened in 3 months or 6 months. That could have taken 5 or 10 years. And the guy worked his tail off and went through hell during the process, but didn't look at it that way. He embraced it, or she embraced it, and embraced the struggle like an Olympian athlete would do. And that was the fruit of their efforts.
Yeah.
But people are just looking at it, oh, the supplement did it, and they in 3 or 6 months, this is the way they looked. No. This is why, again, it's so important to be that example, because this way people are going to buy the product, but their expectations to it are not going to be like far-fetched like a lot of people go into things. They're going to understand that, hey, this is a component, it's going to help. But if I'm looking for the solution, I got to be part of that solution. I got to show up and use the product every day. I got to do other things that are going to be healthy for me if I'm going to achieve what I'm looking to achieve. And that's when, you know, somebody who operates from values that can be that example will illustrate that for people to do that. So that's where this is so important. In terms of the secret of building a brand and business simultaneously.
Right. So speaking of all this stuff and projecting it and letting people see it, you know, in corporate speak, we have our mission statement, our vision statement, and our value statements. And I've seen work groups pound their own heads into the ground, crafting carefully the most elegantly worded mission statements that nobody's going to read anyway.
Yep.
However, I don't necessarily dismiss those things, because I think that they do, in a way, convey what that company, what that brand, what that individual actually believes in. And I believe that some wordsmithing is important. At the same time, I just think that this is really something that, candidly, it should have been an email, but that's a separate conversation altogether. But all the same, as I said, I'm not saying this stuff isn't important. So let's focus on value statements. Why is a value statement important for sustaining a brand and business simultaneously?
Well, what's great about a value statement, it doesn't mean that you have to wait and start a new business from scratch to do one. You can do one even with a business that's been around for several years. A value statement is going to tell, it's going to project to people. It's not going to tell, but it's going to share with people, again, why you or your organization does what it does. It's not necessarily what you do. It's why you do what you do. So it's, again, connecting on those values that people share and can connect on, so they know that you're more than just an XYZ product company that does this, that you are committed to, you know, human development, to professional development. You're committed to, you know, living in an honest world, you know, that we operate from integrity, whatever the case may be. These are the things that resonate with people. Is it going to resonate if we had 100 people in the room? Would all 100 people resonate with it? No. There might be maybe, you know, 85 people that resonate with it on various levels, but it's they're going to be connecting on those values that resonate with them. That's where organizations and individuals that are developing their brands and businesses have to show up. So a value statement will always tell people or always share with people why you do what you do. A mission statement will tell you what you do, and an executive summary or a vision statement, whatever you want to, list it, is going to be a kind of a combination, of the why and what. So it really sinks in. So think about an elevator pitch. How many times you went prior to COVID when you would go to a networking event and people would just tell you what they did? It was like blah, blah, blah. Nobody.
I've got a story about this. I'm just putting in the bookmark. Go ahead and finish what you're saying. And I got a story about this one. Go ahead.
But what if I were to say, hi, Adam, my name is Chris Salem. And, 22 years ago, I went through a lot of struggle in my life, and I was dealing with a lot of emotional issues. Statistics say that 85% of people become depressed over a period of time when you don't address your emotional well-being. This led me down a path when I resolved the root cause of my limited beliefs to pursue a passion of helping others to do this. See, now I'm getting into what I do now, but I led with why I do what I do. See, now people are going to listen. And I could have went on for another 45 seconds and people might have listened to what I had to say then. Whereas if I opened up what I did within the first 7 to 10 seconds, probably even sooner, they're checked out. They're just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah.
And in all the curriculum about elevator speeches, I've never heard that one before, because most of the education I see about elevator speeches is how to, within 15 seconds, use the right presuppositions, neurolinguistic programming tactics, and phraseology to make the person feel like whatever you're doing is all about them, even if it's not.
Yeah.
And it's like, to the point, it's like, for a while there, my elevator speech was, I don't have an elevator speech. What do you need?
Yeah.
And I also had this little game I used to play when I went to a lot of seminars and conferences. When people tried the "what do you do" thing on me, I would immediately just, with language skill, just turn the conversation around without answering the question and get them talking about themselves. And the way I viewed that in my mind is, it doesn't matter what I do. Who freaking cares what I do? What matters is, what do they need? What's going to move them forward? What's going to serve them? And does what I do serve that? Or, what I does serve what they need, but how do I language that in a way where it feels like it's authentic to them? Because I have that flexibility once I know more about them. So it doesn't matter what I do. It matters what they need and want. That's how I looked at it. Now here's another example. A few years ago when I joined the Rotary, I had my name badge created for the meetings. And I was given a choice from a menu of suggested titles. So I picked consultant. Cue the numerous interactions where somebody would walk up to me, not even look me in the eye, but look down at my name tag, touch it and pull it up a little bit, like that's going to help them see it any better, even though they're already like craned into it, and say, Adam, what kind of consulting do you do? Like, really? Do you even fucking care? So here's what I did. Not long after I joined the Rotary, I published my book, Groundhog Day, an Event, Not a Business Strategy, which I've now mentioned for the third time. So if you haven't bought it, buy it. Anyway, I paid the $17 to have a new name tag printed that positioned me as author/speaker rather than consultant. And that was designed to change the conversation ever so subtly. So instead of, what kind of consulting do you do there, Adam? It became, oh, you wrote a book? What's your book about? Well, Hal, I'll tell you about Groundhog Day as an Event, Not a Business Strategy all day long. I've only mentioned it 4 times. That's my baby. I mean, I've not only mentioned the book title 4 times, I've told you about 2 of the sections in it. That's a conversation opener. And then I can share a little bit about it, the meaning of the book. And then usually that gives my interlocutor an aha moment. And now I've got them talking about themselves. So when we get to the point where we decide what my consulting can do for them, I know the words that they want to hear. I know what problems they want and need solved, and I can position it in a way where it feels like the answer to their prayers.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's actually the reason I wrote the book, because I wanted to have something that people could pick up and hold in their hand or load into their Kindle reader, where you could learn a lot about my mission, vision, and values as a consultant, as somebody who helps business creators serve from their intersection of their brilliance and their passions, so they can make a difference to their community, market, and audience. See, I'm getting good with the taglines.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it takes a lot of practice, folks, by the way. You got to repeat that over and over again. Through sheer repetition, you get good. So,
no, absolutely. But wait, when you lead with what you said, from why you do what you do, it just comes off naturally from the heart. And,
yeah.
And people connect. That's what connects to them. Other than where it's just like what you do, it's just, again, it's people are not in a place where that registers, because it's about it's why you do what you do, but what does that mean, and what is compelling to the person that's receiving that information, that's touching and connecting on those values subconsciously.
Yeah.
That's what resonates with people. And that's what's going to be like, oh, cha-ching, maybe what can he do? What can he or she do to help me? Maybe they can help me in this. Or I know a person that can use some help. Maybe I could refer them to, because that connection, other than, you know, what you did, you know, it's just going to go one ear and out the other. I'm not saying that, you know, happens every time, but for the most part, you know, people are going to have far more success when they know how to really, you know, build that foundation, be disciplined, be consistent at it, because that energy is going to reflect through your confidence, your self-esteem, your body language, how you communicate, how you make decisions, how you follow through. People just take that for granted and don't even think that's even important.
And what I recognized, I've had this conclusion before, and what you just said really reinforces for me, going back to the Rotary name tag. When I made that subtle shift from branding as consultant to author/speaker, when we think of books, when we think of presentations and speaking, what do we think of? We think of stories. Mm-hmm. So that right there is just a fundamental mind frame shift. So instead of nuts and bolts of what are the services you offer, now it becomes, what is your story? What is your message?
Yeah.
And we all have a story, and we all have a message. We want to know about other people's, and we want other people to know about ours. That's what I meant by, I can tell you briefly what the book is about. I can say it in two sentences, and then it'll sit, and then all that, just the way I say that, will cause them to have an aha moment, and then they start spilling their guts. So now I make the conversation about them, which is where I can then inject value when they show me what the value they're looking for is.
Yes, absolutely. And then, you know, the whole idea is when you can empower people through questions, open-ended questions, and let them do the talk, they basically will just, the pain point will come out eventually. They answer their questions through the guidance of your questions. And now they're ready to jump in with both feet. I'm not saying that works 100% of the time. May not be at that given moment, but you've planted a seed and you're moving the ball forward, where at some point they're gonna be working with you or referring somebody to you.
Yep, that's why the book has two sections on how to make meetings suck less, because that's something I don't know anybody can't relate to.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up here, Chris, there's two more questions I have for you that you're fairly. You know, fairly straightforward here. So the first one is going to be, as we wrap up, our listeners are tuning in, they're hearing this, and I know you have an invitation for them, which we'll share in just a moment. But in general, generally speaking, what is one action you would recommend that our listeners do as soon as they finish streaming this episode?
I would say right now is to take ownership of your direction of your life, your brand, and your business. There are great resources out there. They're going to help you, but are they going to do it for you? No. You got to build that foundation. So start doing something that you haven't done or you know is good and you know you should be doing it, because when you build your level of confidence and self-esteem, it's going to impact everything else you do and how you show up and be in front of people directly, indirectly, and through your content and through your communication. It's going to be a game changer. And that's even for organizations as well, because there are some organizations that don't even have to be that big in size, but they just, their values and the way they operate and their energy is just light years ahead of others that are still in the same place, getting in their own way, and they keep doing what they're doing, expecting different results, and just it's the same old, same old. So it's how you show up. How can I show up to be better than I was yesterday? And it's not about being the best. It's about being your best. That's where people connect as well. And, you know, and coming from those values, be real, be relatable, because people want to feel related to.
Yep.
And
understood. Yep. Okay. I lied. There are actually three questions. It's because I realized there's one thing I really just want to sum up, because we did so much work laying foundations, and storytelling and story sharing as a way of conveying ideas, masterminding together, coming up with inspirations. So in 1 to 2 sentences, just so our listeners can feel like they got it, although I can tell you they've gotten it in spades at this point, what is the secret to building your brand and business simultaneously in 1 to 2 sentences?
Here, I'm going to give another look at this. Give without expectation, from empathy and kindness, not pleasing and enabling. One is interdependent behavior and communication. One is codependent.
Right.
Give without expectation, receive without resistance, meaning that when you give, you know, give value, be the resource, be the example, whether if it's indirect or direct to your business, whether if that person doesn't reciprocate, it will come back from somewhere else. That's another thing. Yeah. We didn't really get into that too much here, but that is something else I figured might be a great way to sum this up, because that if you live and operate from that statement I just provided, it's another game changer in terms of how to elevate your brand and scale your business. Because there are many times where I've received revenue and money with things that had nothing to do with what I did directly for someone. But you have to be open. Many people have a hard time receiving, especially when it's something that they were expecting only to be compensated for something they directly did for someone.
Exactly. Exactly. So in addition to some of the things we've established, we also left some open loops, and we did that intentionally because this is just the beginning of an ongoing conversation. For those of our listeners who may be leaning in and tuning in right now, wondering what's next, how do they engage with you and what do they have to look forward to?
I would say that, that, you know, you have, you know, to look forward to the journey, you know, that, you know, nothing in life and nothing in business, you know, you will appreciate and have gratitude for unless you go through that process. So
yeah,
it's embracing that process, showing up in the moment to control what you can, let go of the things that are beyond your control. You can't control the economy. You can't control things in your industry. You can't control COVID. You can't control someone's communication, their behavior, their attitude, their emotions, or the course of action they take. You can only control yours. Focus on that and maximize that and show up each day and be consistent. That's going to be really a big game changer in terms of where you are and where you want to be.
Exactly. So I would I want to make the invitation is, if you're listening to this, visit Chris's website at ChristopherSalem.com. And you're going to find all kinds of resources that will help you with the idea of achieving self-mastery by mastering your inner critic and becoming what Chris calls a prospreneur.
Prospreneur. You got it right.
Yes. Those books I mentioned earlier, they're there. There's a course there. You can see Chris's blog. There's so many great things. And he also provides you opportunities to connect with him, so you can take this conversation to whatever you feel is the natural next step. And you have another website too that you shared with us, efamovement.org, Empowered Fathers in Action. I think that just really kind of closes the loop from where we began. You mentioned that one of the issues that you worked through were challenges and misalignments with your relationship with your father and expectations and things like that. So what I love about this is this organization is it helps fathers to create sustainable solutions for father-son bonding.
Correct. And it's a way to build interdependent family structures free from limiting beliefs, so parents can be better examples for their children to break the cycle of codependency.
Yep.
This way kids will grow up with higher levels of self-esteem and confidence and become future leaders in their homes, in their communities, and in their businesses.
Yep. And as I mentioned myself, one of the things that drives me to do what I do is to help people recognize the cycles that came through things like inherited trauma, resonance repatterning, and things along those lines. And to use that very common yet powerful phrase, break the cycle. So without criticizing, condemning, or judging what happened before, it's possible to create a new cycle that will generate new results.
Correct.
Yeah. So with that, Christopher Salem, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor, and believe me, an education.
Yes. And I want to thank you, Adam, for having me here, the opportunity to share this information. And again, all that you do, not only here on your podcast, but everything that you do with your business and your book, just keep doing what you're doing. And
right.
It's people like us that are just going to be out there to keep being that example for others to do for themselves.
All right.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.